Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians. We're going to be in chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. As you turn there, let me read to you Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. It says, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him." And all the church says, amen. You know, as we're nearly complete with this great study in Ephesians, I really love this epistle, guys. I mean, no wonder it's been called the supreme book of the New Testament, which it certainly is. And we've been learning how to truly walk worthy of our calling, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I know that by now you know what worthy means. It means a set of balances, which 5 pounds and 5 pounds, remember? In other words, equal in doctrine, the things that we have learned, and equal in applying those doctrines. And that's how you have a balanced walk or a worthy walk that pleases our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to leave behind now marriage and the role of the husband, the role of the wife, the obedience that the children are called to, the Christian home, if you will. And we're going to right now move outside all of that. And we're going to move, if you will, to a teaching that it seems out of place, but it's not. And it's the master-slave relationship. And, you know, we could say, Paul, all of a sudden he shifts everything, and why is that even included? Well, if you notice that when we start out with the word submission there in verse 21 of chapter 5, submitting one to another in the fear of the Lord, or submitting yourselves one to another, that mutual submission, this whole chapter, until we get down to verse 9, is about submitting unto the Lord. Amen? So we understand that children should obey their father and their mother, honor their father and mother. And that word obey there is the same word that is used, we'll find out in a moment, for slaves, bond servants, if you will, obeying their masters. Now, with all of that being said, it's very important as we set up these verses that may appear to you to be out of place in Paul's letter, but they're really not at all. Because what he is doing, he's talking to first century believers. This is not for us today in a sense, but it is for us, okay? So first thing we have to do is we have to understand that verses 5 through 9, we have to understand them in the historical context. Again, this is first century. This is not 21st century. Amen? Are you guys with me? Okay, so when we look now at the wickedness of slavery in the days of the Apostle Paul, the first century, it was wicked, it was horrible. Any kind of slavery is horrible, but to that type of mindset in that world, it was considered essential. In Paul's day, now listen, in Paul's day throughout the Roman Empire, matter of fact, in the first century, I looked this up last night, the census, in other words, at that time, there were approximately 30 million people, I'm sorry, 300 million people that lived on this planet. Now, in Rome, there were over 60 million slaves. Think about that. Now, what they did, the Romans, when they captured nations and cities and villages, they would take captive people. A lot of the people, a tremendous majority of the people that they captured and put into bondage and put into slavery, some were doctors. Some were very highly educated, very skilled and so forth. They were educators. And as a matter of fact, they were, a lot of the slaves that that brought into slavery, they were more cultured and had more wisdom than the masters had. Do you understand? So with all that being said, here they are. Rome is filled. The with slaves. Matter of fact, there's so many slaves in Rome, you could not tell if you went out on the street during a busy day, you could not tell who was a slave and who wasn't a slave. It was that many people. So that was the way of life, but also you have to remember the bondage of slavery then or anywhere, that the owner of a human being, saddest, sickest thing in the world, they had the right, especially in Rome, they could, for any reason, they could sell the person, female, male, sell them, or they could even have them executed if they did not please them. It was a very sad thing. So that's the first thing we need to know, is it's to keep it in historical context. The second place thing that we need to know is verses 5 through 9 are addressed only to Christians. They're not. It's not addressed to unbelievers at all, the lost. So when here it's addressed to slaves, Christian slaves, and to Christian masters, if you will. Now, the lost, the reason it's not addressed to the lost is because the lost could never obey verses 5 through 9. You see, the only a new creation can obey verses 5 through 9. Amen? You have to be born again, and you also have to be filled with the Spirit. That's why Ephesians 5:18 is so important. You know, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be ye being filled with the Spirit. That's a daily thing. It's a command, by the way. So we know that when a person comes to Christ, amen, they're one, you know. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. It says whether you were a Jew, whether you were a Greek, whether you were a male, whether you were free female, whether you were slave or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. Slavery is it's the most wicked, demonic thing that has ever entered into the heart of fallen man. Slavery is literally man's inhumanity against man. You know, only God and no one else can set the slave free. Amen. You remember, if you go back and start studying out slavery in the Word of God, for example, it goes all the way back to the children of Israel who were in bondage for 400 years to Pharaoh there in Egypt. But God, He's the one who freed them. He's the one who freed us. And in reality, there are only two kinds of people on this planet. There are those who are slaves to sin. They don't have an option. They're natural man. They're in Adam. They're slaves to sin, whether they believe it or not. And then the other kind of person is a person who is a slave to righteousness, to holiness, to sanctification. And that is the new creation in Christ, the new birth. Amen? Now, with all of that being said, I want to, since we're talking about the wickedness of slavery, it's very important to know that this text that we're reading, verses 5 through 9, have absolutely nothing to do with the slavery that occurred in our nation pre-Civil War and after, you know, while the war was fought. Listen, for the body of Christ in that generation to take those verses out of context is one of the most wicked things I believe has ever happened in our nation. It is incredible to me that they would take something in the first century that doesn't even apply to them and use that to do what they did. Now, with all of that being said this morning, it's important that you understand that nowhere in God's Word does He condone slavery. Do you understand that? Y'all with me? Okay, now let me say something else about it too. Until the day that we observe, we stand, and we all as a family of God, we see the devil cast into the lake of fire. Only then will the slavery of men end on this planet. Matter of fact, did you know that even during the Great Tribulation period, slaves are still going to be made? Matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that when the man of sin, that Antichrist, the masterpiece of Satan, whenever he shows up, you know what it says is going to happen to the world? In Revelation 13:16, it says that this man, this wicked Antichrist, he causes all, everyone that doesn't have God's number on their forehead, if you will, or His name written, He causes all. And listen to the six different types, both small, great, rich, poor, free and slave. There it is in the Great Tribulation period. To receive a mark on their right hand and on their foreheads. So you have the right hand, that's considered fellowship, the foreheads, the mind, will of person, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark and the name of the beast or the number of his name. Those who take the mark in the Great Tribulation period, that is one sin that can never be forgiven, never. And that person can never be saved if they take the mark of the beast. They are now condemned for all eternity. Matter of fact, I may be teaching Revelation after I finish up with Ephesians. Not sure yet. I'm praying about that. Now, with all of that being said, those are the two reasons. Let me give you the third reason this morning before we begin our text. We have to make, if we're going to make proper application, where we truly can relate to what's being said here, we have to bring what Paul is saying up to the 21st century and make proper application to us this morning. So in verses 5 through 8, the word bondservant or slave, let's change that, and it's perfectly okay to do that, not change it, changing the word of God, but to where that word bondservant, we can also use employee. Is that okay? Is that all right? Okay? And matter of fact, some translations just say employee. Now, so we can change bondservants there to employees. And then on verse 9 where it says masters, we can call that Christian employers, okay? Those who own a company or Christian bosses or whatnot. So remember, this is addressed only to believers, not to unbelievers. And remember also that when Paul wrote this epistle, there from prison, over again, half of the population of the Roman time was slaves. Now, who do you think were the first ones to hear the good news? Slaves, the poor people. Amen. They gladly received, and they were all born again. Now listen, not all, but you know what I meant. So here's what happened. Here you have a slave. Maybe he's from some other nation. He was captured, and when Rome went in, and now he heard Paul, or he heard one of the apostles, someone, share the good news of Jesus Christ, and Jesus became his Lord. So here's the slave, but now you have the master, and he now hears the good news, and he is born again. So now let's say, for example, to bring it up to the 21st century, here we are, I'm a slave, and you're my master, but now, hello, now we're both brothers. You see, we're breaking bread together. We're opening the scriptures together. We're praying for other people together, amen? We're praying together, and then I have to leave the service and go to your house and wash your dishes. You see, are y'all with me? Now, can you see how all of a sudden the confusion set in? Now you know why this is first century. Now you know why Paul is he, before we even get into the warfare, why the Holy Spirit told him to put this in there, because there were over, like I said, 60 million slaves there in the Roman area. Now, with all of that being said, I want you to begin now in verse 5, and let's look at our text. He starts off with the word doulos, which means bondservant, which literally is slave. It's where the will of another person, his will is now swallowed up in the will of his master to do whatever he wants. He is a slave. It says, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters. That word, kurios, same word used for our Lord. Can you believe that? I am your owner now. I am your master, and so forth. He says, be obedient to those who are your masters, Christian masters, by the way, according to the flesh. And how are you going to do it? Fear, trembling, singleness, or sincerity of heart as to Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. What would happen if every Christian in America, every Christian walked worthy of this one verse? Think about that. Would the American workplace be changed forever? Oh, man, come on, guys. It would be unbelievable. In other words, he says, you be obedient to your boss. All right? That word literally means be constantly obedient. And that means also something else. If you're going to be obedient to your boss, your employer, your Christian boss, or your unchristian boss, you're obedient to him, whether he's fair, whether he is unfair, whether he's a joke, you know what I mean. Amen? Whether he's a good boss or whether he is a bad boss. Christians, Paul says, God says, Christians should be the most faithful, hardworking, honest, productive people on this planet. Amen? That's a good word. Man, listen, I like that. In other words, if you represent Jesus Christ. I mean, when you go to work, you know, you get to work, you should get there on time. Well, there was 5 red lights, and I had to answer 10 texts. No, what drives me crazy is I'm working in my office, and we're all allowed to have cell phones here, okay? But then you'll hear them, bing, 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 and I want to go, hey, don't read that. You're on Jesus' time. They're here, you see, so I'm loving them. They don't know that, huh? You know? Yeah. You see? You don't check. I got to go check my mail. No, don't check your mail. Do it on your lunch break. Amen? And if you're working for a company, well, I'm the evangelist. Well, if you're going to do that, you're being paid to work, not be the evangelist. Do it on your lunch break and do it other. Matter of fact, why don't you just do it by your actions? Because when they see that you don't take advantage of people and use people and say, man, and be a slacker, you know what? They go, there's something different about you. And they're going to ask you at the lunch break, why do you work so hard for this guy? He's a jerk. And I say, and I'll tell you why in a minute, okay? Now, if you're employed by a Christian company, don't take advantage of the Christian company. Amen? Oh, listen. Boy, I'm a Christian. I work for this company, and they're all Christians. And you don't get special treatment from your boss. Do you understand? When the lost people, well, that's a lost person. No, that's not the way it works. So you have to serve the Lord with a proper mindset and a proper heart set. Look at verse 5 now again, and look at the way we do it. It says that you're obedient, slaves or employees, be obedient to those, to your employers. Now here's how it says to do it. With fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. Now listen. Can you believe that? It says, obey with fear and trembling. Obey with singleness of heart. I promise you that when I arrive at the office every day at this place, there is no trembling that goes on. Matter of fact, they ignore me when I walk through. They don't even say good morning to me. Do you understand? There's no fear. There's no trembling. There's no obedience. I'm going to get to what that means in a little bit, okay? But this is more than just respecting, do you understand, your boss. That's why this is so very important. The believer, the Spirit-filled believer here in verse 5, you don't obey because of your employer. You obey because of your Savior. Amen? Look what it says. Trembling, sincerity of heart, as to whom? As to Jesus, our Lord. Paul telling Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:1, let as many slaves or bondservants that are under the yoke count their own masters, their employers, worthy of all honor. You know, you work hard for them. So that the name of God and his doctrine is not blasphemed. Now, and those who have believing employers or masters, it says, let them not despise them because they are brothers. They're brothers. In other words, you know, and they rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. So in other words, if you work for a Christian company, you have a Christian boss, don't take advantage of him. Amen? You work for the Lord. The Bible tells us this. What was Paul trying to tell Timothy? Or not trying, but what he did tell him. He was saying, Timothy, listen, if we have people that are working, that are believers for whoever it might be, demonstrate who they really are by the power of a transformed life. In other words, there's a difference. When you see a Christian working and an unbeliever, there's a difference, really. Did you know that? There really is. The Bible tells us, it says in Colossians 2:3-23, whatever you do, Christian, it says, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. That's the title of this sermon, by the way, as to the Lord and not to men. And the reason? Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. And here's why. For you serve the Lord Christ. Now listen, I know what it's like to work for a company or a person or whatnot that you just, it's all you can do. You don't want to go to work. Have you ever been there? You go in, it's like, oh God, please, do I have to go today? You know, because I mean, you've probably worked for people like I have. You know, I remember when I started out years ago, before I became a home builder, when I was learning how to do carpentry and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I had a guy, you know how he trained me? He would sit in his truck and drink whiskey, and he would honk his horn when I did something wrong. Honest to God, you think I'm kidding. And he kept honking until I finally got it right. You know, I mean, I was going, what, Lord? I mean, come on. So all the things, I mean, go through all of your life, man. If you're old as I am, you've been with a lot of different people, you know, and some of you go, I can't stand working there. Now, listen, let me show you from the Word of God how you can go to work no matter where it is and have the joy of the Lord. Listen, it says there, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. So do you really want to go and enjoy your job? Then here's the deal. You must understand this. No matter what you do, you may be a doctor, you may be a plumber, you may be a school teacher, it doesn't matter. Whatever you do not do that for men, you do it for the Lord. Do you understand? I don't mind working for the Lord, do you? No. I mean, I didn't tell people that, but I wanted to at times. You know, I don't work for you. You know what I'm saying? I don't work for you. I work for the Lord, man. You know, I told you this story. I worked for a Christian one time. And he was a multimillionaire, and his home was about, I don't know, 14,000 square feet, whatever it was. And there was a room in his house. And you know how rich people, and I'm not condemning rich people, I would be happy to be rich because I would not take over my life. But their homes are huge. The millionaires, they like big places. And, you know, so this person who was a believer, he had his one room in his house. It had a name, and I don't want to say what it was, but anyway, it was bigger than this room right here. Can you believe that? And the walls were all brick. So I go over there, and he says, hey, Bill, here's what I need. You see this wall right here, or the whole room? I said, yeah. He says, I want to change the color of the brick. I said, okay, and you want to paint it out. That's right. And so I went to the Jones, whatever it's called, Kelly Moore, whatever, you get the fan of colors, and I brought it to him. He says, okay, this is the color I want. I love this color. I said, great. I said, I'll go by tomorrow. You'll see, on the wall. So the next day, or that evening, I had bought the paint, like you put a piece on the wall, right? Yeah, a sample. Are you with me? A sample. You like that color, okay? Well, so I did that, and next morning I showed up, and he said, "Where'd you paint, Bill?" I said, "Right there." He said, "That little square?" I said, "Well, it's just a sample. Did you like it?" He says, "Oh, you don't understand. I want the entire wall painted." And I said, "That wall's 60 feet long." I said, "You want that color that you don't even know that you want?" I didn't say that. I didn't. I wanted to say that. I said, and I just wanted to clarify. I said, let me make sure I understand. Because, see, I thought I was losing my mind. I said, you want me to paint that entire wall? Yeah. Then I'll know if I really like it or not. I said, okay. Painted that entire wall. Oh, yeah. Came back the next day. I don't like that color. I said, you don't like that color? So he picked another color. Now, let me speed this up. 17 times. I painted that wall 17 times. 17 different colors. You can ask Becky. See, and he came in every day. I looked at him and, good to see you. You know, it's like, I mean, if he went 18, I don't know what would have happened. So guess what color he picked after 17 colors? The very first color. Now, how did I endure that? I didn't work for him. I painted that wall 17 times for Jesus, amen? And that's how you can have the joy of the Lord when you're in the workplace. And amen, that's how you do it. Now, with all of that being said, there's something else we're not to do as Christians. Okay, look at verse 6. We're to work, okay, but not with eye service as men pleasers, but how? As slaves. Slaves of Christ, bond servants of Christ. Did you know that you're a slave of God if you're saved? Romans 6:22 says you are a slave of God. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good information? Yeah, he says, no, don't do eye service. Don't be a men pleaser, but you're a slave of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Eye service. Boy, that's a killer, isn't it? In other words, eye service is when you are the hardest worker in your company when your boss is there, when he's looking at you. Man, you're just plowing away. And then the moment he leaves, you pull back the screen with the solitaire game you've been playing, you know? Or he walks into your office unexpectedly and you pull down the screen and you're working. That's not good, is it? No, listen. You don't want to ever be a man pleaser, a men pleaser. You want to be a Jesus pleaser. You know, Paul told the church at Galatia in Galatians 1:10, Paul says, do I now persuade men or God? In other words, am I trying to make friends with men? Or am I trying to buddy up with somebody? He says, for if I still pleased men, if I was doing what they wanted me to do and all that, I would not be a bond servant. I would not be a slave of Jesus Christ. Do you think Paul was worried about winning the approval of man? No, not at all. Listen, Paul the apostle, and we should do the same, we live to please only one person. His name is Jesus Christ. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So he said, I'm a bondservant, man. I am a slave of Christ. Aren't you glad that to be a slave of Christ isn't the same as being a slave of this world? See, Jesus doesn't make slaves. Jesus frees slaves. Jesus came to set the captive free, amen? To be a Christian is the freest freedom known in all of the world. Yes, Jesus told us in John 8:36, if the Son makes you free, you have been made free indeed. Now look at verse 6 again. He says, but bondservants, slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the what? From the heart, with goodwill, doing service. Now watch this, doing service how? As to the Lord, and not to men. In other words, you do service as if you were serving Jesus Christ himself. Amen? That's a glorious thing to do. Loved one, listen. It means that you regard your employer, whatever his interest is or whatever, you regard them as if they belong to Jesus himself. You take care, you work for somebody, you take care of their business, amen? That's what that means. You know, it's like I told the first service, do you work at McDonald's? Repent. No. I think somebody got mad at me in the first service because I talked about, do you work at Chick-fil-A? I've only eaten there one time, and I know it got them upset because they give you a piece of chicken and a pickle, man. I need some more. I mean, that's just not going to cut it. I've had one of those. I said, what is that? And anyway, he said, he talked to me after the service and said, you can order lettuce. It's going to cost you more. I said, okay, I'm not eating there anyway. But what am I trying to say? If you work at Chick-fil-A, if you work wherever you work, man, listen, if you're at McDonald's, you make the best hamburger you can make. And you make it for Jesus, amen? You don't cut corners. When customers come into your place, here's what you do. It's like I just said, goodwill service to your employer. You treat people that walk into your company, whatever you're doing, whatever you do, you treat that person like Jesus would treat them. See, that's how it works. That's how you're the light of the world. That's how you're the salt of the earth. Amen? Yeah, and that's all. That's how it should be happening, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive, watch this now, the same from the Lord. Can you believe that? Whether he's free, whether he is a slave, whatever you sow for God, you're going to reap from God. Isn't that great news? Yeah. Listen, you know, here's the thing. Your employer, let's say, you know, you work for a Christian company and you have a Christian boss. But let's look at it from this. Your employer, he doesn't even know you. He didn't know you from Noah or Adam. You understand? He's not aware of you. You know, he doesn't even know your name. That's not wrong, is it? No. Listen, here's the deal. You know, he may not be aware how hard you work. You know, I don't really care how people know how many hours I work or how hard I work, but I do care what he thinks. Do you understand me? Because that's who I work for. I do not work for men. I work for Jesus Christ. Does that see? No, listen. The thing is, and your employer may not know how valuable you are, how hard you work, how faithful you are, how you take care of his business. He may not know it, but here's the deal. God does. You don't work for men. You work for God. Amen? Oh, listen. God says, you do this, and you're going to be rewarded for your faithfulness. No, you don't look for the reward from your employer. You look for the Lord to reward you. You know, I told you this probably years ago because I don't have any new stories. You know what I mean? I did a job while I was pastoring here, because remember the first 8 years I worked outside of the church to make a living, and I built this huge, gigantic tennis court. I mean, it was a professional tennis court on this large estate. And man, it was major because it was down in from a massive hill where the home was, way, way down. And there was hundreds of trees, literally, that had to be removed. And we worked and worked and worked and finally got all of that done. And I was down there trying to hook up, finish the lighting, touch up, you know, the wiring and all that, just making sure everything was secure. And the owner of that home leaned over and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm just doing final touches, sir, you know, da-da-da-da-da." He said, "Can I tell you something?" I said, "What's that?" He said, "I've never seen anyone work so hard, and I'm not doing this, okay? Okay. I've never seen anyone work so hard. I mean, you were here for sometimes 12, 14, 16 hours a day to get this built for me." And I said, "I want to thank you." And I said, "Well, thank you. God is good." That's what I always say. God is good. But see, I was working for the Lord. I wasn't working for him, okay? And he said, "I just want to let you know that I know you and your family. I just purchased 2 first-class airline tickets for all 3 of you, round trip to Disneyland, Disney World. Put you in the Floridian for a week." The Floridian, hello. Sylvester Stallone was there. He was. And he said, "And I'm going to give you, I think, $1,000 for spending money." And he says, "Everything's paid on me." Yes. I could use that right now. We walk into the room. This is the truth. And here's Thomas. He's just like that. We walk into the room. We're in the happiest place on earth. And we're at the Floridian, which is a five-star unbelievable. And so the owner of that home that I did that tennis court for, it was Christmas, okay? And in our room was a gigantic Christmas tree with all the Disney ornaments, like Mickey Mouse, and you understand that we could take home. Isn't that beautiful? But now here's the deal. When I did that, as the Lord knows, it was for him. See, we work for him. And look how God rewards. Do you understand? See, we don't know all the things God would do if you just do things his way. Amen? And it doesn't mean always it's going to be something like Disney World, you know. It may be a free coupon to Chick-fil-A or something. I don't know. You know, but the thing is, that's what it's about. It's not about your employer. It's about your Savior. Because we don't work for men. We work for our Lord. And you know what God says about when you do your work? He makes you a promise. He says in Hebrews 6:10, he says, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, here comes, which you have shown toward his name. Isn't that amazing? God won't forget your things that you've done for him, but he will forget your sin forever and ever and ever. God is so good. Now, with all that being said, look now, let's go to the master, the Christian employer, verse 9. And you masters, do the same thing to whom? The slaves, your employees. And give up threatening. In other words, you're a born-again believer now. You're an owner of a company. You better be walking in love is what he's saying. Knowing that your own master, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, is in heaven. And there's no partiality with him. In other words, God says, I don't have any favorites. The slave, the free, the black, the white, the Jew, the Gentile, the male, the female, the Scythian. It doesn't matter who you are. God is not partial. He loves everyone equally. Amen? Now, so the employer, a Christian employer, is to do the same thing. You want to love them. You want to treat them right. They're your brothers and your sisters. And that's what is happening. You know, if Christian employers, if they would treat their employees as if they would treat Jesus, there would be a big change. You know, I've had the opportunity to know owners of several Christian companies and how these people are sold out to Jesus Christ. I mean, they're sold out. They love the Lord. And I've known one of them for 35 years, dear friend of mine. I remember during the recession, remember 2008 and 9 when everything just went okay. Well, I think his workforce was about 50 people in his company. And everybody, there was no work for nearly a year. Do you know what he did? He paid their salaries out of his own personal pocket for 1 year. He kept them on. He didn't let their children do without. He didn't let their wives do without. He did not let them do without. Like he told me, he came in, we counseled and we prayed together. He said, Bill, some of them, they've been with me for 30 years. He said, some of them started out as kids and now you see what I'm getting at. And now that's what you call a Christian employer. He had the means to do it. He didn't have to do it, but he trusted that scripture and he believed that scripture. I've seen Christian other companies, one in particular, very wealthy and well-to-do, but loves the Lord. She was a lady, loved her with all of their heart. And I'll never forget how all the people that worked for her on different estates, when they retired, she paid their salaries until the day they died. Every one of them. It was like a goal for her. She felt horrible if they didn't get paid that week. And I mean, some of them lived 20 years after they retired. She kept paying them, everyone, until the day they passed. Now, that's what it means here about loving them, respecting them, not doing it because of man, but doing it for the Lord. You see, God says, I'm not partial. God doesn't care if a Christian employee is rich. He doesn't care what kind of big home you live in or a little home. That doesn't impress God. See, all of us, are going to give an account unto the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:10. All of us, we're going to stand before the Lord there at the Bema Seat of Christ, the place of rewards. We're going to give an account of everything we have done, of whether it be good or bad. Amen? Oh, listen. No. Now, with all that being said, we need to ask ourselves a question as we make another quick application here. Are we really slaves of Jesus? Are we really a bondservant? Can we honestly say, let's examine our hearts, and can we honestly say, listen, a bondservant is a slave, and I am a slave of the Lord, which means this, Lord, my will now is no longer my will. My will is swallowed up in your will. Whatever you want, since I am now a bondservant of Christ, I want to do for you. Now, let's make a quick application. Return to verse 5. And let's look at a few things this morning. Bondservants, verse 5, bondservants, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling in sincerity or singleness of heart as to Christ. Now we serve a bondservant. We serve the Lord how? We put our whole heart into it now. He owns us, okay? And why do we serve the Lord with fear and trembling? See, we don't fear man. We don't tremble before men. We don't, our boss, we don't start falling apart and all that. No, no, but we fear and tremble before the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we do that? Well, Paul tells us in Philippians 2:12, he tells us why. He says, work out, not work for, work out your own salvation, okay? Now, again, work it out, don't work for. The Philippians, when Paul penned that, they were already saved. So he says, work out. That word means to bring to its ultimate conclusion your salvation. Bring it all the way out. And the ultimate conclusion of your salvation is Christ-likeness, where you are being changed or transformed into the image of Christ from glory to glory to glory. Amen? So he says, work out, not work for, your own salvation. And then he tells us how. In what? In fear and in trembling. Now, what does, and why would we do that? I mean, the Lord loves us. He died for us. He's not ashamed to call us brethren, the Bible says. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and he tells us why. For it is God who is working in you. Think about that. God is working in you right now to do something. It says both to will and to do for his good pleasure. His good pleasure, not ours. And then he says this in verse 14 of that text, do all things without murmuring or complaining and disputing. Now, he's not talking about murmuring and complaining and arguing with your brothers and sisters. He's talking about, don't. Why would you argue with God? Why would you murmur toward God? When, in other words, concerning anything to do with your salvation. Does that make sense? That's, you see, you want to stop your progress, and I know you don't. You want to stop progress in your Christian walk? Start complaining to God. That's what kept the children of Israel out of the promised land. They were a bunch of murmurers, man, complainers. We don't want to complain to God at all. No, listen, it says, and do, watch this, not eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ. Look, watch this now, doing the will of God. That's something we do, doing the will of God, not from our minds, not because of fear, not because we're trying to earn his love or any of those things. Doing the will of God from our hearts. What a great word, Paul. What a great word. As to the Lord, not to men, loved one. See, doing the will of God from the heart. You want to know, here's the will of God. You ready for this? Jesus, he told his disciples one day, he said, we're going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be turned over into the hands of sinful men. They are going to kill me. I'm going to die. And then after he told them that, it says in Luke 9:23, and Jesus said unto them, and he says to us as well, in Luke 9:23, Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, if you're going to come with me now, if you're going to travel with me through this life, if you really love me, if you desire to come after me, here are the conditions that's going to have to happen. He says, let him deny himself. What a word. That's what a bondservant does. Not about me anymore. Amen? You know, the word deny there in the Greek literally means to say, to disown oneself. It means literally to say goodbye to Bill. It's no longer me. It's about Jesus. Amen? To deny himself. That means if you deny yourself, it means that what you want in this life, it means your priorities that you have planned and you've made that list and you've got them all down, it means that Jesus now has the right to change them. For we are his bond servant. If anyone desires to come after me, let him completely deny himself. It's no longer about you, Bill. It's only about Jesus. Let him deny himself. And then there's the command. And take up his cross daily. And then those incredible words. Follow me. Follow me. In other words, it's not your road anymore. It's my road, Jesus says, and it's the narrow road. It's the narrow way that leads unto life. You have to come with me now. If I own you, you have to come with me. That is the will of God for a Christian. And let me tell you something. When you start following the Lord, don't start thinking it's all going to be, oh, this is going to be so bad and this. Listen, like I've always said, it's an adventure. You may end up walking on water like Peter. You may end up laying hands on the sick and they recover. Amen? You may be sent all over the world and lead thousands of people to Jesus Christ. See, you don't know. But boy, when you follow him, it is always an adventure. No wonder Paul the Apostle, remember what he said? In Galatians 2:20, in one version, it says, I no longer have a separate existence from Christ. That's one version. But you know the version, the King James or whatever, when Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who liveth, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's no longer me, Paul says. It's only Jesus. And that's what that means. And see, the issue is this. Don't we want to be like the Lord? Isn't Jesus our perfect example? Okay, if he is, then we need to be obedient to Philippians chapter 2, 5 and following. Where Paul says this, in Philippians 2, 5, he says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus our Lord. That same attitude, okay? He goes and says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That's a command, by the way. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. What in the world does that mean? Well, Jesus is God, amen? So that was a pre-Bethlehem, if you will. This is God. Jesus has always been. He has always existed. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit has always been. So that's pre-Bethlehem. He says, being in the form of God, it says he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. What does that mean? Robbery means that Jesus didn't say it was a treasure. Oh, I can't leave heaven. I have to cling to heaven. He didn't cling to that. He didn't think of himself. He thought of you. He thought of me. He thought of the world to die for. Amen? He says, I didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God. And here it comes. But made himself of no reputation, and listen to how he did it, taking the form of a bond servant. There's that word. Is Jesus your example? He's my example. What does the word bond servant mean? It's the same word that where it's no longer my will. Jesus said, it's no longer my will, Father, it's your will. Amen? It's no longer my will, Jesus, it's your will. It says, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. He came in the likeness of man, God wrapped in human flesh, but without sin. And we know that he was obedient to the death of the cross for you and me. Now listen, that word bondservant means that Jesus, the Son of God, the Creator, I mean, there is Jesus wrapped in human flesh. Amen? He's God. His finger is what created the worlds, or the Word. He just spoke. He took the lowest place on the rung of humanity. The lowest place. He became the slave of God for you and for me. How can we not be bondservants of Christ? Amen? Yeah, he is our perfect example. When Jesus was in the upper room hours before his crucifixion, when he was loving his disciples and he was washing their feet, remember what he said? He says, I have given you an example. An example that you would do this to one another, not wash each other's feet. That's not what Jesus was talking about. He was giving himself an object lesson. He said this, most assuredly, I say to you, here's the lesson, most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master. Think about that. Are we greater than Jesus? Huh? No. Well, if Jesus washed some of the disciples' feet, shouldn't we do the same thing? Not really. We're not talking about washing feet. That's not a doctrine. No, he's giving us an example. What is he saying? He's saying here, the church, us, why don't we return to where we are, the place that God called us to be? Man, listen, You know, to call Jesus our Lord, Kyrios, owner, master, and then not do what he wants us to do, that's pretty bad, isn't it? Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not do the things I ask you to do? Jesus said, I have given you an example. I want you to follow this example. The Bible teaches us in 1 John 2:6, it says, if we say that we abide in him, meaning Jesus, we ought to walk as he walked. We do so by grace. We do so by the power of the Holy Spirit, loved one. And then here's what Jesus did. He said to the disciples, he's saying to us as well, if you know these things, the things that Jesus just taught them, if you know these things, blessed or happy are you if you do them. Did you notice that Jesus in that verse didn't say happiness is knowing them? See, we can know the Word of God. Amen. But happiness is doing the Word of God, being obedient. Yeah, this world that we live in lies about happiness. Listen, I'm telling you, you can't have happiness apart from the living God. You know, there's no, all the things that are out there today, you violate the God's laws and you're not going to find peace, believe me. You're not going to find happiness. Jesus told the disciples when they were arguing, remember, who's going to be the greatest when we get into heaven? Jesus looked at them and said in Matthew 23:11, he who wants to be the greatest among you, here it comes, be your servant. There you want to be great, there it is. In Matthew 20:26, they were arguing there. It said, whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, Jesus said, let him be your slave. What a word. To be a slave of Christ. Did you know a slave is the personal property of another, right? Okay, if we are slaves of Christ, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, it tells us that for you were bought at a price. We know the price, the precious blood of Jesus. We're purchased. We were taken off the auction block of the world, amen? We no longer belong to death. We no longer belong to Satan. And we are no longer are we slaves of sin, amen? We're now slaves of righteousness. Think about that. Man, we're bought. We're paid for. And our master will never harm us. He will never hurt us. He will never mistreat us. And he will never sell us again. And no man will ever be able to snatch us out of his hand. That's what I call a great purchase in Jesus' name. Amen? No, I look and I say, oh God, you're so good. It was Adam that messed everything up. He wanted freedom and independence from God, and he caused the whole world in every generation to become slaves to thousands and different kinds of masters. Slaves of sin, slaves of self, slaves of sex, slaves of this. Oh man, no. Listen, there's only one freedom available to man. Isn't that amazing? There's only one freedom available to man. And it's only one man. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, when I think about being his slave, listen to me, I have never had benefits when I was a slave of sin and a slave of the world. Now that I'm a slave of Christ, look at his benefits. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 1:3, remember, it says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, past tense, present reality, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are blessed. You can't get any more blessed. Do you understand? You have every spiritual blessing. Not only that, I'm a slave of Christ, and guess what my owner has done? I'm going to be a co-heir. I know. Hello. Everything that God the Father gives Jesus the Son, Jesus is going to give it to us. Do you understand? Not only that, I have eternal life, everlasting life. I'm going to live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Oh, man, I'm going to have a new body, new face, new everything. No more hair falling out like Mario's and all that. No, I'm joking, Mario. I'm joking. You're on the front row. No, do you understand? See, the more people starts coming back, the more humor you give me. I get happy. Oh, listen, guys. you that are listening live, do you want freedom? Become a slave of Christ. Ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Ask him to come and live in your heart. And if you don't, you're going to be a slave to sin. You're going to be a slave to the devil for all eternity. Listen, right this moment, you can just say, Jesus, be my Lord. Oh, please, Jesus, just come and live in my heart right now. Buy me, purchase me, forgive me. Just ask him, and he will save you. And that goes for anyone in this chapel. If you don't know Christ, say, Jesus, come into my heart. Come live in my heart right now. Oh, God, save me in Jesus' name. And he will. He'll do that. If you prayed that prayer, you're listening live right now, and you prayed that prayer, I want you to email me at info@loveneverfails.com. I have a booklet called Welcome to the Family of God. If you'll send me your name address, it'll be mailed out first thing tomorrow morning. And if you accepted Christ right now like the others did in the early service, you know what? I have a booklet here I want to give you as well. Listen, we are free. We are under God's divine, unmerited, unearned, perfect grace forever and ever and ever. Romans chapter 5 teaches that you stand in the grace of God 24/7. You can't get out of the grace of God. Amen? Know who you are. Believe who you are. And when you leave here today, loved one, listen to me now. You go to wherever you work. And when you work, no matter what you're facing, you just say to yourself, well, Lord, I don't like what's happening, but I don't work for men. I work for Jesus Christ. Father, we praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name for this day, Lord. We love you. And once again, we lift up Steve Carroll and all the family, Lord. Comfort them, be with them. And Lord, give me the perfect words tomorrow in the mighty name of Jesus. And we all say, amen. Amen.